The Fearless Podcast, in a time of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act.
Hey, good morning, y'all. In an attempt, I guess, to be more interactive and create a dialogue, I've been asked several times about this topic, so I wanted to share a comment with y'all and kind of speak to it. And it's an absolutely tremendous morning. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. It's fantastic. And, I'm out here in the food 401k, just enjoying what God has given us. And I want to speak to this. One of our subs, Forrest Rose, she asked me, or they asked me, it's Forrest Rose, so I'm assuming it's a lady. So I think it's a safe assumption. And I think it's very important that we obviously conform to our created gender roles, but I won't go down that rabbit trail. But anyway, TD, would you be willing to do a video on the Christian and attaining wealth? Meaning to say, we've all heard the prosperity gospel, and I reject that. But somehow along the way, I believe I have adopted the thinking that wealth, land, businesses, investing, extra clothing, a very nice home with comforts, a nice reliable vehicle is wrong and unnecessary. Would this be considered a poverty gospel? It really is a hindrance while going through life trying to follow our Lord and always feeling bad while wanting to prosper the family and how we live. And this is a really great synopsis of this topic and why I wanted to address it. And I've been asked this hundreds of times, so I wanted to speak to it a little bit. I have a couple notes here. I'm not going to conform to my notes because I think sometimes that feels forced and boring. The only problem when I deviate from my notes, I go down lots of rabbit trails, which is fun too. We have seen this very often, and this kind of mentality of a vow of holy poverty was propagated by the Catholics, the pagan Catholics. It's also been used as a control mechanism. And I am speaking predominantly from an American's perspective, and I bring that up because of this. If you could make more, should you? And to whom much is given, much will be required. And as an American, I did not choose to be born here. I have no white guilt about being born here. I feel blessed. And the only way that I can appreciate that blessing is to participate in it. And that being said, there are seasons in life, and we will experience the gamut of life. Paul talks about whether abased or bound, he talks about being content, whether abased or bound. And the reality of that is, just a little look behind the curtain, I'm function stacking. So, you know, I like being out here in my bare feet. In Texas, you have to be careful with that because you will attract the fire ants. And so I just got to keep an eye on the toes to make sure I'm not being attacked or whatever, another rabbit trail. If we could make more, should we? And the obvious answer to that is yes. And that has just as much to do with redeeming the time, for the days are evil. We're mandated to provide. And that's both man and woman. We see from Proverbs 31 that a godly woman is incredibly industrious. And it's obviously under the leadership of her husband or father or leader in her life, whoever that may be. Once again, there's a mandate to conform to our created roles and to not deviate from that. And whenever we speak in general terms, we are speaking in general. So if your circumstances in life are outside of that bell curve, nobody is condemning you, but God is sovereign, God is in control, God is well aware of your circumstances. So whenever we talk about basic principles, people in this modern era, they immediately get offended, and what about this and what about that? They want all these different exceptions and everything, but the general rule never changes. And unfortunately, we live in a time where we have to make these disclosures and disclaimers that are rather unnecessary, because logically, you know, we understand principles and how to apply them. But if we should make more, if we can make more, should we? The obvious answer is yes. And if we've been given these opportunities, there are latent opportunities all around us because of the vestiges of freedom we still get to experience, we should absolutely participate in that. That being said, there will be seasons in our life where we are abased and there is winter and then there is fall. But there will be seasons of plenty, of spring and summer. And if we neglect to participate in that, we are completely squandering the opportunities. And along with this comes a mindset, you know, and I've seen it hundreds of times talking to different people and attempting to work with different people, counseling different people. They've adopted this poverty mindset, and inadvertently they've instilled it into their children. And it's really sad, and it's unbiblical. And they've done it, honestly, in my opinion, to themselves, to create a lazy philosophy, a lazy lifestyle, and an excuse. And Proverbs tells us, consider the ant, thou sluggard. And the Bible, time and time again, in creation, references the productivity. And then we see this productivity, for example, once again, in the Proverbs 31 woman. So we see that that is a driving factor that's not only the rule, but is expected of us. And even because of all these different underlying factors, and understanding that there still will be seasons in life, there still will be times in our life where we lack, and that's where we trust in the Lord. And then there's going to be times in our life where we have abundance. And the warning with abundance is to not trust in that, but to continue to trust in the Lord. And as he prospers us to give, so that we can have to give to help others, to help the homeless person, to help those that have their house burned down. They've experienced tragedy. They've experienced loss. If we're in the exact same boat as they are, we can't help them. And a lot of people will revert to, well, I'll pray for you or whatever. And in a large way, it's just a cop-out. And it's because they've done no preparation. They've done no planning. They haven't done the hard work. And that does not mean that there's coming a day in maybe the very near future here in America where we won't have any of the opportunities we have now, and we won't be able to participate. We won't be able to experience all those things. And that will be tragic as well. And that will be a result of two things: the end of time, as everything winds down and this becomes commonplace. And it'll also be as a result of people being lazy and neglectful. And we see all through scripture. In Deuteronomy 8, we see that God gives us the power to get wealth. And that is both spiritual and physical. We see from Proverbs 10, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it. And that is speaking both spiritually and physically. In 2 Corinthians, it says that the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. We also know from the New Testament where it talks about the man does not work, neither shall he eat. And so many that have adopted this poverty mentality and this poverty gospel, well, I'll just pray for it. And there's an inordinate amount of truth in that. And as you are working and as you are laboring, you should be praying for the Lord to give you today your daily bread. But God also gave you a wife. He gave you children. And he commanded you to provide for them. And it talks about laying up an inheritance for your children's children. Once again, this is spiritual and physical. And as God blesses us with a home, and what's our responsibility to that? As a husband, as a servant, right? As a husband to a wife and a father to children, and as a husband to the land, to nourish it, to interact with it, and by doing so, you create abundance. These are observable realities that we logically can see, and by our participating in that, we see the practical application of that. And this is our mandate. And we cannot shirk that responsibility. And God forbid that we use some isolated verses in scripture to a world where we become lazy and apathetic and just slothful. And we become so spiritually minded that we're no earthly good. And you know, as a father, if you adopt this poverty, this vow of holy poverty, shame on you. Shame on you. I feel incredibly sorry for your wife and children. And in that same sense, we have to teach these same principles to our children of work ethic. And more importantly, what will drive that work ethic is your mental approach holistically. And that mindset is what we are commanded to teach our children. And we instill that in them, and then they can practice that and live that out, and they will watch the fruits of that. And then you can point to that. You know, you think about the apostles, and when they went back to fishing, you know, they went back to fishing and Christ was on the shore. And they toiled all night and caught nothing. And Jesus said to them, cast your net on the right side. Cast your net on the right side. And Peter said, listen, I'm the professional here. And we've toiled all night, but nonetheless, I'll do what you commanded me to do. And he did it. And they caught so many fish that the net break. You know, and that's really what we're talking about here. It's about if you could make more, should you? And are you required to participate? And if you don't, will it be taken from you? These are the questions we have to answer. And we have to do it in a way where we are properly balancing the spiritual and the temporal. And we should never use spiritual realities to give us an excuse to just be lazy or unthoughtful, or, you know, why do I need life insurance? You know, God's going to take care of me. Like, you're not going to plan ahead for your wife and children. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. We know not what the day will bring forth. Like, I'm not going to be here forever. I might not be here. I might drop dead while I'm recording this video. You know, it's very presumptive of me to not plan ahead. And it's satanic for me to instill that thought process in my children, because just like I was gifted a wife and children and land and homes and different things. And we work very hard for that, but they are all gifts of God. And if I neglect and shirk that, I'm despising my birthright, and I'm despising my heritage, and I am despising the gifts that God has given me. And that speaks to the core and the heart of the message that I want to give you. And it also speaks to how we have lost so much today. And while our liberties have evaporated, and they've largely evaporated due to neglect, and they have also largely evaporated due to our entire approach and thought process. So that's what I want to encourage you with today, is to, there are going to be seasons in life. There are going to be challenges. There are going to be struggles. And you're going to have financial trials and tribulations. You're going to have physical trials and tribulation. You are going to experience loss. But if you are neglecting opportunity, shame on you. Shame on me. And we've all done it. And we need to instill. I did a podcast on We All Need Hope. And the Bible says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. And this particular topic, we are talking about finances. We're talking about money. We are talking about things. But these are all real things that we need to function in this world until we are called home. So let's not neglect. There's plenty of time in the day. And if you prioritize your day around spiritual things and spiritual growth, those are of absolutely utmost importance. But as you are practically applying these spiritual principles, it will influence and affect your life. It will influence and affect your finances. The debtor is servant to the lender. So we are not to be in debt, but stuff happens. Life happens. Loss happens, right? And if we haven't planned and we haven't prepared and we haven't capitalized and we haven't set aside, when we experience these losses, our only option will be to default to the financiers and the bankers and the money changers. And where's your vow of holy poverty then? You will cave to the financing. You will take the loan. And I'm not saying that if you took a loan that that's the worst thing you could have done either, because we all get to experience lots of different things and everybody's life different and stuff happens. But if you had to default to that credit card or that mortgage or whatever it was, and it was solely because you didn't plan and you didn't prepare when it was spring and summer, and you had some abundance and you didn't participate or appreciate the opportunity, that's not God's fault. That's your fault. You did that with your own hands. And that is critically important for us to instill that into our children, if they're to provide for their children. This is all very just rational, logical, common sense stuff, and it has been lost. Common sense is not common. It's a lost art. And all of logic and ration and reason comes from the word itself. So that's the challenge and the encouragement I want to give to you today. Thank you, Forrest Rose, for the question. And I hope this helps you. I hope it encourages you. And this is a really deep topic, and we could go all the way through scripture from Genesis all the way to Revelation. And I could cite hundreds, probably thousands of verses that point this out over and over again. And once again, there is a balance to it. You know, it's not to be so earthly minded that you accomplish nothing for the kingdom of God as well. And we're not supposed to be distracted by prosperity. We're not supposed to be drawn to that and distracted from the overarching principles and values and themes so that we can spiritually grow and spiritually mature past pretty much all of these things. But why would you disable your children and do such a terrible disservice to them to instill some poverty mindset and disable them from, if God tarries, from providing for their children and laying up an inheritance for their children's children? You can see the cyclical effect of how this would trickle down and generally negatively impact generations. And in the same aspect, as you can see how this could trickle down and negatively impact and destroy future generations, in the same way that approaching it biblically and looking at these promises and mandates, how it could exponentially work in the positive direction and the opposite direction. So that we have to always approach these things holistically as a whole and apply them. And this isn't exclusive to America. I just point to America from my perspective because there is so much opportunity still somehow. And that's the grace of God. I can't explain with all of the control mechanisms and the wealth transfers and the stock market and the bond market and their greatest attempts to transfer all this generational wealth. And if you're participating in the stock market, 93% of the stock market is owned by the top 1%. And if you think you're going to participate in that and your wealth is not going to be transferred to them, you don't understand math, you don't understand basic statistical facts, that is an absolute reality. And if you want to gamble with your future in that completely speculative market, it is not investments. You don't invest in the stock market. It is exclusively speculative. And 99% of the people that participate do not have the risk tolerance, according to their own metrics, to even participate in it. And it's not an investment. It's a wealth transfer. So if you want to give your money to Elon Musk and Donald Trump and all the power brokers that are trying to destroy our food supply and destroy, you know, homeownership, then everything else, play stupid games and win stupid prizes, because that's what's happening. But if you want to lay up for your children's children, as I speak, my children are deploying our assets and they have the equipment and they're being productive and they're investing. And as a father, I can't express the joy that it gives me. And as they talk to their friends and explain these things to them, and then their friends can actually see it in action, it's quite a testimony. And it's not because of who I am or how great I am or anything that I've done or that faith have done. It's just the grace of God. But we can't neglect these principles, and we can't shirk our responsibilities, and we can't pawn it off on somebody else. Once again, like this whole stock market thing, like, yeah, invest over there. Yeah, put your money in this magic thing and shoot it over there and let the top 1%ers steal all your wealth because you're lazy, because you're like, oh, well, I can invest passively. You don't get to invest passively. There's no such thing. If you invest passively, that investment will passively pass through you to the 1%ers. So what can you invest in? You invest in your family, you invest in their mindset, you invest in their life, you encourage them, you support them, you help them by whatever means you have available. And that's our investment. And you invest in equipment and trucks and flatbeds and concrete and lumber and all these different things. And if we invest in these things, if we invest in real estate and property, And then they can in turn use all of these resources to exponentially expand that. Now you're investing in real things that have real world applications, and you will see a real time return on investment. And it's not way out there floating in the ether. It's not in the Bitcoins. It's not in the stock market. It's not in the shares. You're going to buy shares and then they're going to share. Isn't it funny how like the nomenclature stocks, you know, stocks used to be a place of public humiliation. Bonds were chains. They were chains of imprisonment. Just like your mortgage, just like your death grip. It's not a financial vehicle to leverage. It's slavery. It's indentured servitude. And yet we've adopted these words that the wordsmiths, they're telling you. They're telling you what they're doing to you. And they changed the definitions of these words. And I don't know, it's like revelation of the method. You know what I mean? I hope this helps somebody. I hope this encourages you. I hope this gets you to think, gets you thinking. Helps you think differently. Maybe rethink, reconsider. I think that's the most powerful thing while we're here on earth is to just, as I muse, the fire burn. We have to take more time to think, and we have to think biblically, and we have to walk circumspectly. We have to consider our ways. You know, Habakkuk talks about, you know, we put our money in sacks, right? And there's holes in them. And that's, there's a spiritual application to that that's very real. And then there's a physical application to that that is incredibly very real. And we're watching it play out. And if this helped you at all, I'll put a buy me a coffee link in the description. And if you are able, and this was a blessing to you, you know, consider that. But more importantly, share it. Share this with others that just need to reevaluate. Y'all, two bluebirds just flew by. I could have touched them. We have lots of different birds out here. Lots of cardinals, bluebirds, blue jays, and goldfinches. And that's all part of the blessing. That's all part of the wealth. And I can't buy that. How cool is that? All right, y'all. Have a blessed day. We'll see you on the next one.